Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to episode 108 of the We'll Talk About That Later podcast about football. Whilst you're here, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. That's WTATL official. And we're also on TikTok, WTATL.podcast. And subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Do that now. And if you want to be super kind, leave us a good review and tell your friends. Welcome, everyone.
Efficient.
I like weren't that. Ready to start.
No, we know.
Yeah, you talked over the little intro.
Yeah, because the headphones keep coming off my head, but...
But
yeah.
We're all back in the same room.
We're back.
Round how long of applause. Has it been? Round of applause.
I'm not looking to click the button.
I put the laughter again. Oh, yeah, I put this thing here so I can write what is what, and I haven't done it yet.
Cool. Kojo understands our pain. We was out here last week just that way. What's going on?
But luckily for him, I got the right button.
Shout out to Kojo, though. He was good.
Yeah,
he was funny last week.
Great show last week.
And we finally got the Man United perspective, although now would have been a good time to have him on. Cause
yeah. Would have been better, yeah.
I guess we'll talk about that later.
Mm. Do you know what? Interesting, though, just before we get into certain things that happened over the weekend, looking at Abdi and Junior.
Mark, for the rest of this podcast, you are to have your eyes closed. Take your contacts out.
Now, listen, I told you, I'm a big man. I'm not here to run jokes. Potentially, they might come out. But on the Kojo one, quickly, he predicted United won, Watford won over the weekend, and we kind of looked at him and said, really? You don't think you got it in you to beat Watford? Turns out they're out here getting slapped. So Kojo's onto something, obviously.
My friend bet Man United would lose 2-1.
Well, he's a... Oh, not
2-1. But then at halftime, he goes, oh, bro, this is going to be 4-1. Watch.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and you got it right.
Damn.
Can I just say, yeah? The reason I wasn't here last week is because I had food poisoning.
You got Danielle pregnant. Oh.
Rah.
Is that how we're moving already? 1 minute, wow, two minutes, 18 seconds.
It's not
what
even me, but
I was just a question.
I was going to say the fake reason is that I had food poisoning, but the real reason is, I said I was going to take part in the podcast last week. That's true, though, wasn't it? Didn't I say I wanted to take part? But Joe Budden over here told me to stay home, yeah?
You know, wow. You're saying Joe Budden over here, I'm pointing, but the listeners.
He was pointing at Tanya, by the way.
No,
I was pointing at Mark, because in the group chat, I said I wanted to take part in the podcast. He's like, stay calm in it. So we don't need you this week.
All right. Well, that's about a quarter of the story, but we'll run with that.
Okay.
We'll run with that. You were never going to come, though, were you?
You're feeling quite generous
with your quote unquote food poisoning.
I was in a flipping hospital, bruv.
Okay. What, he's going to record?
Is that we're going to bring a mic to
I came home, though. Bruv, stop with this Danielle stuff, man. What are you talking about? There's no Danielle, man.
Ooh, sensitive.
I know, right?
Also, I just wanted to play a little voice note from Elijah, yeah? So shout out to Elijah from the Aggregate Score. He's a big supporter of the podcast.
Big him up.
So I was telling him we would come back here, and then he sent me this voice note. This is a week I was going to play it last week, but okay, I got sick, so. Can you hear it?
No.
Why is it not playing? Oh, my headphones connected. My bad.
Man, cool. Had one job.
So Abdi's a shambles. Abdi, I know you've been gone for a couple of weeks, but just.
He's forgotten how to do this.
Sharpen up, all right?
Then play. My bad. But Elijah.
Man's alarm went off. Just play it. Third time lucky.
Yeah,
just press the button.
Play it.
Alright, cool. Can you hear it?
Hear what,
bro?
You're a shambles.
What? You're a shambles. Playing?
I don't think he sent you anything.
Can we take away one of his Man of the Week plays?
Nah, you're dead, bro.
Turn it off. Shambles.
My bad. Shambles. Sorry for the last 15 seconds of that podcast.
You got any dodgy food here? Because I think we need a bout of food poisoning again.
Why is it not working, though?
I don't know why, man.
Man asked me about dodgy food here.
Do you remember what the gist of it was?
He said something like, listening to the podcast, it's like... eating jollof rice or something like that, but just he just said I need it like I eat jollof rice every day or something.
Oh,
but yeah, shout out to Elijah.
My brother, yeah. He's going to be happy after this
if he managed to play it, bro.
All right, Mark's gagging to talk about it.
You could say that.
I don't want
he's
to say
itch.
That.
Let me start off with a little something that might help to set the scene.
No, don't be nice, Mark.
I'm not going to be nice. Tans, I'm going to be real. Right, so for the listeners, you'll know full well by now, we've got a group chat. It's in full flow. We rip each other all the time. This past week,
some people rip others more than most.
This past week, Tanya has just been going ham on Abdi and Junior all week leading up to the Arsenal Liverpool game. But let me set the scene, because obviously that's our spotlight game this week, right?
Yeah,
cool.
Unfortunately,
let me just set the scene.
Pete, for you, love.
It was the podcast derby, of course. It was.
That's true. What I'm going to do is Tanya obviously hasn't looked at the agenda, but what I'm going to do.
No, you haven't.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to set the scene. I haven't actually told Abdi I'm going to do this, but I'd just like to read a couple of messages. So
Abdi's crying internally.
So a couple of messages.
I knew it. See, Abdi, this is what you get.
Damn, he's got a receipt.
You see this Mark guy? He pretends like he's a good guy, but he's a scumbag.
I got receipts, right? So this is so we played obviously on Saturday 5:30. So I'm gonna just guess. I can't remember when exactly this was. I screenshot them today. I went back for receipts, but you know when you're scrolling up through the chat through days, that's how you know I'm committed.
All right.
So earlier on in the week, last week I'm talking.
You'll see nothing by Junior, by the way.
This is correct. I received a bout of messages from Abdi as follows. Mark, if we beat you, I will be your worst nightmare on Tuesday. But if we lose, please go easy on me. I think that's a fair trade. And then I'm just gonna move on to the message I received at precisely 7:30 on Saturday evening. So
after we've lost,
you had about 10-15 minutes to soak it in. Now this one's a long one. This is just one singular message. So a man actually tagged me in this message as well. He goes, Mark, I wholeheartedly apologize for my disrespectful teasing tactics this past week. This is not representative of my character, as I have shown I'm a man with morals and good character. Liverpool are a far superior side, and I humbly accept this slapping we took this evening.
I don't remember sending a message. Can you confirm that it's me?
Abdi's phone got hacked.
So I just thought
that is brilliant.
I thought I'd set the scene. I'm not even going to go
out
on
you.
We
should post that on Twitter, I think people need to know what kind of rubbish you're.
Well, they know now.
No, I mean, if we were to post everything Abdi sends us in a group chat, our Twitter will probably have no followers.
Yeah, that's true.
I've also got access to Twitter as well, so I just delete. I went back and deleted some tweets about Ramsdale, by the way. So no one knows my original thoughts.
I'm going to start doing what Abdi does. I'm gonna tag you on the end of it, of your own message. Look what I sent Mark last week, Abdi.
But anyway, on to the game.
Yeah, let's talk about the game.
Let me just unzip quickly.
Damn, yes!
He's such a waste, man. He just took off his jacket. And he's got a Liverpool shirt.
He took off his Squid Game jacket and he's got a flipping Liverpool.
Did you wait for that moment specifically?
I did, yeah.
The reveal. If we had a camera here, it would have been like we'd had to add dramatic music.
We should have got that on.
Bit chilly off in here, but I'm willing to hold this one.
I've got a blanket over there. You can cover yourself.
Man's got Minamino on the back.
Have you actually?
No.
Tanya, man.
I was going to say.
Every time. You fall for everything he says.
I think the overall feeling I had after the game was, the only disappointment for me was really going from 2-0 to 4-0 really easily. Because obviously Liverpool are a far better side. And I think part of it was obviously it's my character and the way I am and the lack of shamelessness in the way that you, and also you've said this every single year we played whilst we're doing this podcast. You say, I'm worried Arsenal might show up this week.
Do you know why? Do you know why I'm worried? Because you see Arsenal fans, you're some of the loudest fans out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just know what a loss to Arsenal. I know exactly what that means. And I'm not even talking how I feel within myself. I just know exactly what that means out there in the social world.
Yeah, and you were also annoyed at the combined 11s that were coming out beforehand.
I've seen a lot of wild ones. I'm
listen,
not gonna lie.
Annoyed is putting it kindly. We'll get into the game, but the worst thing is that these were people being genuine, right? This is people being dead serious, right? You went 8 unbeaten in the league, I think it was, and 10 in all comps, something like that.
Yep.
So fair enough. People were, happy with how things were going, and but I was seeing plenty of 11s with 5-6 Arsenal players.
That's crazy. I don't think we get anyone in the combined 11.
That is nuts.
But I thought just the way we played, was. I thought for the first 40 minutes or so, we competed quite well, I felt. Although the ball was coming back quite a lot. Like Liverpool, they did it last season. They did it the season before. Arsenal are going to play out the back. So what do? You press very high. And that's what Liverpool did. Immediately, their midfielders, Thiago and Ox specifically, were pressing very high. And we like to build out the back. And I felt generally we were getting away from the first phase of press. But where the issue is I felt like our midfielders weren't brave enough in terms of getting the ball up the field. We weren't really attacking. I thought that's the whole thing from Arsenal really is I don't think we were brave enough.
I don't think I think Liverpool, like the two midfielders that Liverpool were using to trap the Arsenal escape. So like I think Liverpool kind of let us go out from the first phase and then they were ready to bite.
Yeah.
And that happened every single time we got into midfield. So they just bit.
Because we'll go through the four goals, but let me just ask you a question on this. We definitely have to. Let me ask you a question about the your unwillingness, I guess, to stop passing out from the back when you realise exactly how good our... Let's be honest, you're chatting to the best pressing team, or top one or two in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking to go toe-to-toe with that. I think first 15 minutes, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But then I saw you doing it at the start of the second half and it wasn't working. It kept not working. There was a moment in the first half, 30th minute odd, Ben White went on one of his usual marauding runs.
That
got cut out within, what, three seconds? He didn't even make the halfway line. And I thought from that moment on...
We'd stop at least.
You've got to start taking those risks. It's not working. You can't get past the press. Mm-hmm. And even if you do, there's a whole other line there and you couldn't get past that either. I think you had one shot on target all game.
Yeah, that was the Aubameyang chance, yeah.
So it's quite clear to see you weren't beating that press. You weren't beating us on the ball, off the ball. So I was just a bit shocked. I didn't see a slight tactical change at the start of the second half. You know, Mikel Arteta maybe saying, look, first 15 minutes of this second half, let's just go long.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try and win the second balls in their final third and then build from there.
It's a bold tactic doing a pass out of the back every single time because that means you have to beat every single player to score a goal.
And you could see how we were set up. We had prepared for it. You were taking your goal kicks. You had Ben White and Gabriel each side of the six-yard box.
Yeah.
You had Mane on the left of the box, Jota right in the centre, Salah on the right, and like you pointed out, Ox and Thiago just behind, really setting that trap. And
there's literally nowhere to go.
Literally kept doing it. And that's one of the things that shocked me.
Against a side like Liverpool, who go from back to front really quickly, and they have the midfielders who will whip it to the fullbacks. The fullbacks who literally whip it forward really easily. Trent is your creative midfielder from right back. I don't know. If we're going to do that and then they're pressing really high, why aren't we getting our fullbacks high and just trying to find them? We got fullbacks who are actually both 6 footers. You can compete in the air. Then your midfielders can feed off those scraps as well. But like the thing is, our fullbacks were relatively quite deep. I get it because obviously we need to play out of the back and... but then the issue is our midfielders became isolated against your front six, essentially. And then they both had poor games as well on top of that. Like Partey has just come for the Jolof and
Vibes. I forgot he was playing.
Man came to London for Jolof and Vibes and it's just like, watching him. I'm like, your ability is so, like before he came to Arsenal, everyone was saying he's a world-class midfielder. Like literally all the top teams would have wanted him.
But what do you put that down to? Because before I was hearing, he's got Xhaka next to him and whatnot. But what do you put...
I still think he's a quality player, but it's fair to say that it's a very tough league to adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think his journey in this league is done yet, but he needs to improve quickly.
He does, man. Cause like his abilities, it's similar to when I watch Pogba sometimes, although Pogba I felt has performed better than Partey, especially the last 2 years or so. And what's his name? Ndombele. These guys, you've got so much ability. Why aren't you performing? It's something on top of that. Mm. Partey, obviously, I feel like he's had injuries. Although someone like Ndombele, it's more stuff off the field as well, like preparation and that stuff. Four different managers don't rate him. But like someone like Partey, he could play for literally most teams in the Premier League. He's that good, ability-wise. But I don't get it. It's like, I do think personally, the way we play is... it's not conducive for a midfielder of the type of Partey to play that well. Although sometimes like he has performed well, like especially I remember the game against Man United at Old Trafford last year. That's really his most notable performance. And sometimes like this season against Aston Villa is very good, against Tottenham is very good, against Leicester is very good. But just generally his performance is poor. And although the guy next to him, Lokonga, I'm not seeing anything really to suggest he's any better than Guendouzi or Torreira or Joe Willock.
He was missing on Saturday.
Or Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who was man of the match in our previous game. It's just, I can see there's potential. He's a very technical, good player, and I can see he's got good touch, but he can't resist the press. And against these press monsters, these midfielders who don't stop pressing, the midfielders for Liverpool, they're set out to play, to stop you playing as well as being like physical, like specimens and all that stuff.
I don't think he was bought to play now.
But the thing is, every game now. Yeah, exactly. I see the potential. Mm. But in the same way, I was annoyed with the way Guendouzi used to play and the way that he's so easily pressed and he'd fall to the ground under any sort of pressure. Under any pressure, Lokonga is just done. Like, and Liverpool knew that as well. Oxlade-Chamberlain targeted him. It was actually kind of ugly, to be honest. Oxlade-Chamberlain really... I felt Oxlade-Chamberlain pocketed Smith Rowe as well. Yeah, he was Smith really onto Smith Rowe, and he was onto Lokonga as well. So that's probably one of his best defensive games I've seen. Generally, I thought Oxlade-Chamberlain has been good defensively this season. Like against Atletico Madrid, came on, put in a great performance.
There was that moment in the first half at 0-0 with the block on Saka's head.
That was very
perfect timing. Let's get into the game. I want to ask you about the first goal. Does it annoy you both that actually the first goal didn't come from any sort of Liverpool brilliance? It was just a basic set piece, one ball into the box. Does that annoy you?
I mean, I don't know, because like, I think you did have shots on goal, but a lot of the shots that you were getting were quite scrappy. It wasn't anything clear cut. So I think in that phase of the game, it kind of made sense in a weird way that you would score from something like that. Because
generally
we were well drilled in terms of like having the lines there and not letting Mo Salah and Mane have a lot of space. And so I think in a way, I think either side would have, wanted to break the deadlock with a set piece. And you can't give Aubameyang fouling Matip on the edge. You can't give that free kick away there, knowing the quality that they
exactly,
have.
Yeah, you can't.
That's as good as a penalty, might as well.
I agree with Junior. What annoyed me about it, though, is that we've been good from set pieces this season, attacking-wise and defensively. We've been very good this season. And it was very easy, that one, as well. And also, for the first 40 minutes, Tomiyasu was pocketing Mane. Mane was having a terrible first 40 minutes. As soon as he got that goal, it was like Mane from 18-19 turned up again, bruv. It was unbelievable. The switch... And in the second half, he absolutely destroyed us. That was one of Tomiyasu's worst performances.
No, I think it was since Arteta tried to scrap
exactly,
he
exactly.
got the crowd riled up, and then all of a sudden Liverpool went into like
that was all
gear.
Whatever you call it on the sideline was swung everything drastically really in our favour, including the atmosphere.
I don't know why he was trying to.
Klopp. What was that about?
Klopp would have finished
it. It was the and there was no elbow at all, and
it was a little bit of a kick out from Mane.
The specific incident was the jump with Tomiyasu,
Arteta thought you went with an elbow, but he didn't.
And the reason Klopp clapped back, that was a tongue twister. He said it afterwards, was that Atletico Madrid and Simeone were doing the same thing to Mane and specifically targeting him. So actually what his point was is that he wasn't necessarily angry with Arteta. He was angry at the fact that Mane was being targeted again. And I think
Arteta should have been more concerned with the one on Ben White than the one on Tomiyasu. If you're going to complain about anything.
But that was after.
What I'm saying. Like, if you're going to complain about anything, the one on Ben White was... It's just a bit of afters, it was more than the header thing.
But Arteta, he should calm down because Klopp is double his size. All of Liverpool's backroom staff are like 6 footers as well. Arsenal have a bunch of male models in their technical area, and I don't know. He was going mad. Like, my friend messaged me. He goes, "You lot lost the game after Arteta was scrapping like a New York Latina."
Wow. All right, I've got a question for you before we go on to second, third and fourth goals. Going into half time at 0-0, do you think that game would have been different?
No, I still think
we would have lost.
It's because the ball kept on coming back. We couldn't get out.
Tanya thinks she had us in the group chat, but I said from before that I didn't think we were going
to
win.
You're right. But I would have expected you to be competitive at least.
I honestly thought we would have lost. What disappointed me was conceding four.
The slapping,
but I just genuinely, I went into the game knowing what to expect. This is a young Arsenal team, and I've said it here
men
before.
Versus
like
boys, isn't it?
It was men versus boys, yeah.
And I've said it before, like, with this team, you can kind of accept there will be low points and defeats and stuff because it's their learning curve, basically. But to capitulate like they did, that's the disappointing thing.
And also, we got slapped against Man City as well. So that's two. And we lost to Chelsea as well. So against the top three, that's 11 goals, no goals conceded. We've only scored 13 goals.
No, 11 goals conceded, no goals scored.
Yeah. The what annoyed me the most, yeah, is that early when she was goading us the whole week, yeah, she's like, you don't need to be humbled, 4-0 slapping incoming. And then that's what happened.
Oh my God, did I say that? Yeah.
So the second goal
is going to play well as well.
He did.
So the second goal, big individual error from Tavares.
He was terrible. I'm not going to lie, but he's been good so far. But that game,
massive individual error.
I hate when defenders pass without looking.
Do you know what that was though? Because I watched that goal back. It was specifically the press again. Yeah. He had nowhere to go. The only way he could go is backwards. But
no, he should have blasted it forward.
But there's obviously specific instructions, like I said, from Arteta to say keep playing football.
But as soon as he beat the two men, he kind of barged Trent off the ball. Then he got the ball and he drove forward. As soon as you can't, bro,
play it long. Yeah,
just play
Ox
it long.
Ox was onto him immediately.
Yeah, just play it long.
Sees Ox out of his peripheral. And then thinks, right, I've got to get rid of this.
Jota from there, that was quality.
That was quality.
Ben White slid in shot and went out.
He's not called Ben White no more. He's called Ben Green. Because he was out here sniffing grass, boy.
He was out here sniffing grass, man. He said, and then he did Ramsdale as well, and he finished.
Yeah, Aaron Ramsdale, I'm going to say it, yeah. This might be a wild statement, but I actually think he's the best signing.
What, at Arsenal or in the league?
Arguably in the league. Because I cannot sit here and say he's not been nothing short of 10 out of 10.
I think with Leno in goal, that could have been 6.
Genuinely, he saved that.
He's not saving that Mane one in the first half or the Salah one.
The best save was the one from Jota in the second half when Salah cut it back. He was going one way.
But the juggling with Salah.
Yeah, the Carragher loved that one. He was like, tremendous goalkeeping.
He is quality, man. He deserves it.
He's been fantastic, yeah. And without him, we probably would have got an embarrassing score.
He's averaging like 6 saves a game.
That's too much, though.
You know, he's an Arsenal fan. I never knew that. I found out today he's an Arsenal fan.
That's Ramsdale.
Yeah.
Good for him.
That 6 Dream saves per game, though, is
concerning.
It's good. As a keeper, you can think, right, I sit back, I've made these saves. But as a team,
sorry. I don't want to deceive you guys. That's 6 saves a game, including his Sheffield United. So since last season, he's averaging 6 saves a game.
And chucked a stat out there with no context.
No, it just got away. It kind of got away from me. But the sad thing is that it's continuing. So he made 6 saves against Brighton. He made 6 saves again against Liverpool. He made 6 saves against Leicester. And it's just a concerning stat.
The third goal pissed me off a lot because what have I been saying over the last month or so? Been going off of this Salah agenda. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Salah, but I've been saying that's 3 games without a goal. I was like 3 out of 10 because I said to you in the group chat, I was like, he's going to go for a 10 game group. And then Nuno Tavares does a really stupid thing. You lot get in behind, and then the one guy he's meant to be marking, he runs straight to Mane and then he leaves Salah free. And I was just like, oh, that was the most frustrating goal. And then by then we were ragged as well.
So how do you see the game then? Do you just think Arteta couldn't have done anything to play better?
Arteta couldn't have done anything. I just think, they're a really young group of players and I think the players that needed to step up didn't. So Partey. Aubameyang. Lacazette, they're the players that you're looking at in that team of like under 23s, and you're looking like those people are the ones who need to be like for everything that Xhaka isn't. The one thing that he would be doing is he'd be like screaming at people. He'd be like trying to lift heads. He'd be telling people.
Let me be screaming at himself.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah, but you know that's what I'm
about. You know when you say like the team is young, so we've like they can have these days, etc. When does that? This is a serious question. You don't need to grin at me. I'm not trying to draw you out. When does that stop becoming an excuse? I.e., and this is because the point I'm making is that these are young players, but they're flipping quality. So you've got seasoned internationals in Saka, for example, who played all the way up in that Euros run, all the way up to the final. You've got Smith Rowe, who's made his debut the other day. He'll be part of that England setup for years to come. When when is that? Like, when can you stop saying they're young? Like they can have.
In my opinion, I don't think it's an excuse because you chose to play these players. You know, there are players who are over 22, 23 years old available. You could have got players who are more experienced. I get it's for the future, and these are good players as well. But I don't think it's an excuse because one, you spent a lot of money, so you know. And also, if you're young enough, you're old enough, in my opinion.
Well, no,
that's
not good enough. You're good enough, you're old enough. Young enough.
That didn't make no sense. And also, like...
that's what R. Kelly said, yeah?
Oh, my God.
What's going on with you today?
I said one.
No, he was trying to get you out of your pregnant earlier.
No, I said... That's not what I said.
All right, let's chat about the fourth goal.
Wait, hold on. Just to answer your question, I think it's not so much of an...
Let me finish my point, but go on.
You've been talking too
to
much.
Be fair, that point is gone now. Man said R. Kelly, but whatever.
What I was gonna say is that I don't see it so much like I do see it as a bit of an excuse because it's the lack of experience. Yeah, we've spent a lot of money, but it's playing for a big club in big games like those that they lack experience. They don't, a lot of them haven't played Champions League. They, you know, so they lack the experience in terms of like what it is to play in those big games. And I think that will come. But I think where it stops being an excuse is like now, because I don't think you can keep going into big games and getting slapped. I think there comes a point where you have to say, okay, look, we're in the Premier League. We're supposed to be competing. We want to get back in the Champions League.
And I'll tell you now, right, that fourth spot is really up for grabs. Like there are a number of teams, West Ham, Spurs, United, Arsenal. There are a lot of teams who, if you put a run of wins together, you know, fourth is anyone's this year. And I think it's those big games for Arsenal that if you keep coming out of them with 0 points, all of them, Chelsea, you got to play again, City, you got to play again, you got to play us again, I think in January or February. Keep picking up 0 points in those games. No, but if you keep picking up 0 points in these games, you're gonna start falling away from the rest of the pack because you've got West Ham beating Liverpool the other week. You've got Spurs who beat City on the opening day of the season. Yeah. Like the clubs around you are picking up points against the big boys, and that might be to your detriment come the end of the season, those points.
Whilst I agree, I do think it is going to be the games in that small square of teams. So the top three are far and away better than everyone. In relation to that point, I don't think us, the way we're young or the fact that we're not winning in these big games, I don't think that's the reason we lost to Liverpool. We lost to Liverpool because they're far better than us and they're an outstanding team. And it's Anfield. Like you look at the chances, you go smaller and smaller, the chances go down when you take into account everything. The fact that they've got world-class players all over the pitch, they were much better than us on that day. They are a much better team and they're title challengers. We need to focus on top four, that fourth spot, because the top three are away, I think. They're far better than everyone else. I feel like, in terms of the top four, it's going to be important when we got games against the teams around us. So we've already beat Leicester, got Man United next Thursday.
We've already beat Spurs.
I think you've got already beat Spurs. At some point.
Well, we've got Man United next Thursday as well. So
next Thursday?
Well, yeah, there's a Thursday game, I think. So we've got Newcastle Saturday, and then we've got, I think, Man United on Thursday. So those games are going to be more important in terms of the top four. Because those three are just far better than everyone else, and they've shown it already.
Yeah, and I think on Saturday we saw that we're not close to competing with them. So, you know, it's a call to reality for those Arsenal fans
but
who
for
are
you lot,
daydreaming.
Obviously, you've got, I think we'll come on to the next game. Chelsea are... I'm looking amazing right now. Where do you see your title chances right now? Because both of you have only lost one game.
Correct. But like I said in our little shorts segment thing that you can find on our Instagram, we've got to start putting a run of wins together. Too many of our... I think we've played 11 games this season. 11 or 12, and 5 have been draws, or 4. So it's on us to turn those draws into wins, and that's where... you lose out on league titles by drawing too many games. That's what I feel. So if we keep drawing stupid games, like the Brighton one when we were 2-0 up at home, we've only got ourselves to blame. But like you said about Arsenal and winning games against Spurs and West Ham and those around you, we've got to go and beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. We've got to beat City. Because we
definitely can.
Well, of course we can. We've done it over the years.
You've got a lot of injuries right now, innit? That bench was kind of...
It's
a long season. They might get injuries.
Chelsea's strength and depth is unlike anyone else, like, really.
That's what we're competing with, though. I always say this. I think we've got the best starting 11 in the league, but squad-wise, we're not there at all.
And the problem is that Chelsea...
the one area that they wouldn't want to get injuries, they have, and they have.
And they're managing, yeah.
Oh!
Okay, so let's move on because it's been half an hour and I don't want to cry anymore. So,
well done, Liverpool. You did your job.
Love to see
well
it. Done. Like love I said, look, Abdi's looking at me like he's going to drop something in. I told you, like, I'm going to be nice and civil today. Yeah.
I've been civil.
Tanya, your club hasn't done anything to shout
yeah,
about.
I
what
know
are you
that.
Doing?
I know that, but I can still, you know, get happy that you guys lost. Come on.
That's how you know.
It's fair.
That's how you know. You.
All's fair in love and war.
That's how you know
fair.
Tanya has nothing to cheer about.
I do
Spurs.
Love you guys though.
If Liverpool lose, I'm gonna start chatting. Even if we can't chat to him, Liverpool have been better than us the last 5 years.
After you chat, when we lost 6 on a trot last season at Anfield, you was in my ear like a minute after full time. Abdi was there. Like, what you saying, Mark?
Yeah, but you get emotional. I'm built better than you.
True.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I don't know about that last point. Yeah,
the man is so you. Triggered. You got triggered at Tanya.
No, if he was getting onto us, I appreciate his shots, but this one, like, you can't talk from outside the club,
this,
man.
This one.
Oh, just quickly before we move on, did you lot know that Virgil van Dijk still hasn't lost the Premier League game at Anfield for Liverpool?
Carragher kept talking about it.
That's 4 years.
Yeah, kept talking about it. That's 4 years, 15 games.
See, now
I
have to wait for another season until we can beat you at Anfield.
Oh, for that run to end.
If we hadn't played you and you told me that start, I'd be like, we're going to smash you and ruin this record.
I know.
If it wasn't for that, okay. Leicester played Chelsea in the early kickoff on the weekend. And
Leicester are a shambles, man.
What is wrong with Leicester?
They need to buy a centre back, man. They're centre backs. Johnny Evans is 34. Soyuncu is crazy.
No. You can't come here and start spewing Johnny Evans is 34 when
he's just coming off
about,
an injury.
When you're talking
what
about
do you
he's
mean?
The
what,
best
can I not talk about his age?
That's true. I swear Johnny Evans is your goat.
Yeah. You've been talking about Johnny Evans for so long.
Let's talk about how you hate Jamie Vardy. Don't come at me with that. No. Listen, John, it's difficult to play at the back when you're playing again with some losers
but it's Johnny
Amarte.
Evans.
Can you let me finish, sir?
But it's Johnny Evans.
Can you stop slandering Johnny Evans, man?
You slandered him.
I don't slander Johnny Evans. I said he's 34. I just said his age is catching up to him now, coming off an injury. Yeah, but also the difficulties of playing alongside Amarte and Soyuncu, who are both crazy, yeah? And Leicester, they need to, I don't know why they didn't just go out and buy someone like instead of Vestergaard, instead of go out and buy someone like Tarkowski or Dunk
remember,
or something
they,
like that.
They couldn't have predicted that Fofana injury as well.
But then they bought Vestergaard because Fofana got injured, so they should have gone out
very
and bought.
Late in the window.
Yeah,
late
in the window,
window.
And they're not going to spend a lot of money when you got Fofana to come back.
Well, go get Tarkowski or something, or go get Lewis Dunk. But
Leicester, what they were after him a summer or two ago, and they were quoted 50 million.
Yeah,
the England premium, man. If you're English, you've got that.
Burnley
are
psycho.
He doesn't even play for England.
I got.
Well, 15 million is too much for Vestergaard. He's horrible.
All right, let's get back to the game.
Yeah,
I got a question for you lot about Leicester and Chelsea. So Leicester poor on the day or Chelsea great on the day?
I think a bit both.
Well, I think it was great. Chelsea were great on the day.
No,
that was
I
one of Chelsea's most complete
was their
performances.
Good performance.
Yeah, no, I agree. But was. I think Leicester could have been playing now and they still wouldn't have scored.
Well, yeah, it's difficult to score against Chelsea.
Leicester this season, they're struggling, man. It's not just defensively. They struggle. They're not like scoring goals.
They're scoring decent enough of goals.
So
they're not terrible defending.
Do you think Rodgers is under pressure a little bit? Because have they won? How many games have they won this season?
I don't think he's under pressure, but it's not the start you would have wanted. Or Leicester.
No, they're having.
I don't know, but I think managers now, they're under a lot of pressure. I mean, Nuno, he lasted how many games? You've seen Dean, what's his name?
Dean Smith.
But Nuno didn't get sacked off the back of 3 years at Spurs and you know,
there's no way. There's no way they sack him because he's taken them to consistency. They just missed out on top four last two seasons. Won the FA Cup. They're in the Europa League.
100%.
That's the issue. Like, you keep missing out on top four.
Exactly.
And.
But we can't. I don't think we can say the issue for Leicester is they're missing out on top four because they're not. And for me, looking from the outside in, it's just successful for them to be in and around that anyway.
You never let me finish. I was going to say the issue for Leicester is you keep missing out on top four and then there's not that progression where I know it's really difficult to break into the top four, but it's like at one point you're going to have to. You can't just always stagnate. If you stagnate, then other teams are going to catch up with you.
But when you see what you're up against though, in terms of like the notorious big six, and then you've got this season West Ham, I wouldn't put anyone else into the bracket because no one's going to really challenge for it. But it's tough.
I know, I agree. But wouldn't you say that Leicester, out of all of them, are probably the best suited to, on paper, on paper, the best to get that top four, other than United, because United are having a terrible season.
Who are we comparing them to here?
Just the mini battle.
Because I think at this point, I take West Ham's 11 over Leicester's.
But their squad, like, taking into account injuries that can happen along the season, West Ham's probably like the 11. Leicester went out and they strengthened. Yeah. They bought the striker. They bought Donny, who plays out wide. They bought Samare. What's his name?
Sick description.
Lookman. Yeah.
And the striker is Dakar as well.
Sorry. The names evaded me, but that's what I'm saying. They went out and strengthened. Mm. And that was something that we always said, oh, Leicester's 11 is best. And then what they've got coming out after that is not the best. But now they've actually strengthened. They've got a bigger squad. And yet they're struggling. So,
But back on the game, the reason they lost was because Chelsea had an outstanding performance.
All right, but that's what we're talking about right now.
But we're talking about the game, no?
No. Let's stay on this trail of thought because we're talking about, like...
Leicester,
you know, we're talking about their progression and the fact that right now it doesn't look like
it's only 12 games.
I know, but it's not looking good, though.
I think they should be doing better. Mm. Yeah, I agree.
They definitely should be doing better. Obviously, they've got Europa League as well this season as well. But and also, they've got what?
But they haven't played well with their
best defender. Well, I mean, they're sort of like, they're not out of it, are they?
So no, they're not out of it.
They went and won in Spartak Moscow. They've got a couple of draws at home. No, they beat, but they drew with Sparta Moscow at home. They drew with Napoli at home. They've only lost one game in the Europa League, so it's not out of the question. They're still in there. But I just feel like with Leicester, they obviously, Fofana, he's injured. That's their best defender. Tielemans is currently injured as well. He's their best midfielder.
But like Junior said, where's the progression? Because last season, did they miss out on top four?
It's 12 games, guys. Calm down.
They won an FA Cup, but do you wanna... and it's like, right, you've strengthened now. Let's go again. Mm. Let's try and improve.
The reason I'm worried for Leicester is that last season and the season before, they started so strong that you couldn't not talk about them being in that top four race. And then they ended disgustingly poor both seasons, last kind of 12 league games of the season. The problem with Leicester this season is that they're not finding that start of season form that they've found. Mm-hmm. And if they go into the end of the season, how they have in the past couple of seasons, might not even hit top 10.
And Abdi, you said that they're scoring enough goals. They're on -5 goal difference.
Yeah, but they're conceding a lot. That's the thing. They scored more goals than Arsenal, so... I'm talking about the goals scored. I mean, it's what? They scored 16 goals this season. They conceded 21. So, I mean, it's
21 goals.
But the point is that, like, what Mark said is completely true. And I just think, like, you talk about, it's just the start of the season. Yeah, but
I don't think they're not scoring goals. They're scoring enough goals. They're just playing poorly. They've only won 4 games this season.
Are you like the Leicester defence league?
Yeah,
like,
no, I'm just saying, I don't know why you guys are thinking it's doom and gloom and end of time for Leicester.
No one's saying it's doom and gloom, but what I'm saying is it is something to be concerned about because if the other teams around you are winning and you're not, then you're going to fall behind
Can we go back on talking about how Chelsea's performance? Yeah, because they did win the game.
I hate Chelsea so much. They just don't, like you said, I honestly, at the minute, the only team I can see Chelsea getting beaten by potentially is a City or a Chelsea. A City or a Liverpool. Apart from that, I just don't see any other team scoring against them, beating them.
I don't know how you can.
Yeah, it's too early.
I don't know how you can.
No, honestly.
No, but I don't know how you can score 2 or 3 goals against.
Yeah, how?
It's just impossible.
It's not impossible.
It's
not impossible.
They haven't conceded. They've conceded 4 goals in the league this season. Yeah,
and none from open play. 12 games away from home.
It's 12 games. Don't get carried away.
Yeah, but no, you just want to stick. You just want to. No. You're basically saying Leicester are getting relegated. So I'm saying, calm down.
No one ever said that.
I've got more reason to suggest that Chelsea are defensively secure when they've only conceded 4 goals and they're top of the league. And they're four points clear.
When Chelsea
haven't conceded more than one goal this season in any game in all competitions. Also,
it's okay, you're
Leicester.
Doing too much.
And also, you just want to stick to your point that you made a couple podcasts ago saying Chelsea's performances are worse than their results. Chelsea's results will catch up to them. They're 4 points clear of the league that season. What the best goal difference in terms of only conceding 4 goals? Yeah.
So I thought we were 12 games in and not 36.
All right, cool. But I'll revisit this in 15 games from now. Yeah.
No, Chelsea have stepped up.
You just don't want to give credit to Chelsea. Chelsea have stepped up. They're top of the league, bro. Have only lost one game.
No, but their performances weren't good.
I stand by what
I was saying. Their performances weren't good. They stepped up their performances and now they're actually battering teams.
No, they won't. Whoa, that's one game since you last said that.
No.
They've stepped up their performances one game since then.
Oh my god. And then he says he doesn't get triggered.
All this I'm is, saying this is what I've missed, man. Absolutely.
Andy is absolutely crazy.
No. I'm making a valid point. No, he just doesn't want to lose
the
point.
This is the flip side. Nah, you lot. 12 games in. Blah, 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 blah. And then he makes a point that's outlandish. He's like, just, 12 games just, in. Nah, you don't know what I'm saying, bro.
You just don't want to give Chelsea credit.
I've just given them credit. What are you talking about?
You predicted Man City to win the league.
I still think Man City will win the league.
To be honest, I think Chelsea at the minute.
I still think Man City will win the league. You don't need to get so emotional.
Cool. No, let's get some calm in here, Abdi. Let me ask Abdi a question, right?
You better tell him to be calm as well.
I'm saying, when I say let's calm it down, yeah.
Don't point at me. Just say it was me, bro.
Right, you're
crazy, bro.
You know what? Yeah, I'm leaving this podcast. It's my last podcast.
Abdi, my man.
Yes, Mark.
You're right. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mark.
Cool. Everything calm.
Say it to him as well.
We all calm. You calm down, yeah. Cool. All right. It's all love over here. Talk to me about Chelsea then. I'm trying to extract some valid praise from you for Chelsea, because the podcast lacks Chelsea praise is the wrong word, but Chelsea coverage almost. But let me just finish this one thing.
Okay, go on.
What are the three things? Let me say the three things that stand out for you most and impress you most about this Chelsea team.
First and foremost, before I get into that, I just want to say I absolutely hate Chelsea with all my heart.
Fair enough.
I want them to crash and burn. So yeah, but this team is too impressive. Like, the strength and depth is crazy in multiple positions.
Ridiculous.
Defensively, they are incredible. They don't give you any space. 1v1, every single defender is able to come out of a duel successfully and without fouling. The two centre midfield, the midfielders, they've got every single profile you want from a midfielder. Kante, Jorginho, Kovacic, Loftus-Cheek. Who else is the other one? Saul, whenever he does anything. Or if Mount plays centre mid, or Barkley or something like that. They've got every single profile you want from a midfielder. They've got...
Centre-back Silva is just...
Thiago Silva and Rudiger are two of the top performing centre-backs in the world 36. Right now. 37, actually, as well.
There you go.
And Rudiger has no problem with anyone in terms of any sort of profile of forward. If in a physical battle, he can match you. He's clever. He's good coming out. Great in the air. They've just been fantastic. That's the point. Jesus, I was going to make the third point.
James.
They've got fullbacks who are better than most team strikers.
I'm not even joking. Chilwell's making as well.
The game against Leicester, Chilwell was literally playing false nine. I'm not even joking. He was playing false nine, and that's the freedom you get as a Chelsea fullback. If you're playing fullback, go play up front. That's the thing. You see, Marcus Alonso, he's in a back four, he plays as a striker as well. So.
Well, Reece James is the top scorer.
Reece James is their top scorer, and he got another assist as well.
Yep.
If it weren't for Trent and how amazing Trent is, I'd be saying he'd be stifling.
And they had three goals disallowed.
Exactly, three goals disallowed. But you've been mentioning about their poor performances, which there have been poor performances, there have been good results, poor performances. But this, there was no question about the game against Leicester. It's just fantastic. They absolutely battered Leicester in every single department. Yeah. And there's strength and depth as well. Like off the bench, they brought Pulisic and Ziyech, and that's what 100 million worth of talent as well. Man, they've still got Werner and
Lukaku.
What did I say, Werner? But they've got 115 million strikers still injured as well, and they're winning 3-0. Exactly. Jeez, so I think they're just too strong in multiple areas, and there's a dread for teams playing Chelsea, because you know it's going to be a massive. You have to be amazing to break them down as well.
I got one question. I think we should move on, maybe. But I got one question about Rudiger, because you were full of praise for him.
Yeah.
So there's obviously rumours that he's going to run down his contract if Chelsea don't pay him what he wants, which is whatever. I don't know how much he wants and what how Chelsea are dealing with that. But if he leaves Chelsea, are they as impressive defensively? Or are they fine because it's actually more the system than the individual players in that defence?
I think, that's a fair point. Although he has been spectacular since Tuchel's come in. Like, he's been such a rock at the back. One player that I really like is Chalobah. And he's sort of like a mini Rudiger to me, a young Rudiger.
He's very impressive.
He's really good in 1v1 duels. So good on the ball. He's come on in centre mid a couple of times. I know he did against Juventus. You got Thiago Silva, who won't be there forever. And you got Christensen as well. Let's not forget, like, they can remove the back three that played and then play a whole different back three. Like, Azpi, Christensen didn't play, and they've got this guy called Sarr as well.
Yeah.
They can play that, and then they'll be equally as strong at the back as well. Reece James can play right centre back as well. So there's a lot of, and they're all at the similar levels as well. Although Rudiger and Thiago have been spectacular in terms of just their performance level. But they can remove their whole back three and still be as secure defensively.
And I think
you're
forgetting that if you do breach their back line, they've got Mendy.
A world-class goalkeeper as well, who's been probably, to me, he's probably been the best goalkeeper in the league this season. And yeah, just it's too difficult to break down that team, and it sickens me because the most horrible human beings are Chelsea fans. Sorry, I know Tommy's
they're
a fan.
They're unbearable.
Yeah, Chelsea fans are the unbearable. Worst at the best of times, and now they're a really good team who are favourites for the league, in my opinion. Yeah. So.
All right, we've spent too much time on that. Let's go.
Yeah,
on
let's hope Chelsea crash and burn.
Yeah, we gave them too much airtime.
Villa versus Brighton. So Steven Gerrard's first game in charge.
Oh, jeez, alright.
Gerrard never wore that badge, by the way.
My brother.
Have you got an Aston Villa shirt underneath?
Don't worry about that.
Okay. All right. Don't worry. Villa yeah, okay.
I really rate Gerrard, man. I really rate Gerrard, man. I hope he does well because
yeah,
I want him to
like
be.
I
want him to be England manager one day.
Yeah, but
there's something about him for me. This isn't again. People love to take stuff out of context. I'm not actually referencing any other manager at all here. But it's nice to see an ex-player come in and do things a bit differently. He's coming in with that. It feels like to me he's been managing for 10 plus years. The way he the way he presents himself to the media, the way he speaks about his groups of players and protects them a lot. For me, that's something that you don't see necessarily from a lot of these coaches coming through who were ex-players. Like I'm not even going to say that.
Lampard. Lampard
or you could even say like someone Ole. Like a Ole.
I'll tell.
No, but it's not about names, it's more so about me being impressed with.
Drop four names, not about names.
You all drop the names. I didn't drop the names.
True. Essentially, what you're saying is Gerrard's better than Guardiola. Guardiola's explaining it.
He
is a natural, though. You're right. He's been managing for time.
That's what I mean. He went and did his training. He didn't go straight into a job. He went and did under 18s at Liverpool for a couple of years, then went on his journey from there.
Lampard, take notes.
But did any of you guys watch that game?
I saw the goals, yeah. Quality goals, man.
I saw the highlights.
Quality goals. Ollie Watkins, that was a really good
goal. Your boy scored, Mings.
Oh my God. See, that's what I hate. If Gerrard makes Mings a good player, I'm going to have to eat my words. I don't want to see that. But he went to a back four. They've been playing the back three a couple of times, so that was good for him. He went to a back four. I think it's a really good job for him because it's a squad with a lot of quality, actually. Like
It's a good squad.
You've got two good strikers, you've got some good midfielders, good technical midfielders, John McGinn. I felt like for that goal, El Ghazi made a really good run.
Yep.
It was ignored. One. And then Watkins. Well, yeah. So I hope Gerrard does well. It was good result, actually, because it's Brighton. You know, Brighton went to Liverpool, got points. Brighton held Arsenal. Brighton have won a few games. They're a good team, Brighton. Good manager. Yeah. And
they should have won that game, to be honest. In the first half, they had so many chances.
Yeah. I mean,
how often do we say
you have to ride your luck sometimes, innit? Yeah.
No, but I think that's what I said it a few podcasts ago. I was like, is the old Brighton coming up again where they can't score goals?
Yeah. Extreme.
They create so many chances, but they don't score enough goals.
Brighton could do with one of those Villa strikers.
It's true.
I hope Gerrard does well.
All right.
I do as well.
Although I hate Villa fans as well, so.
Why do you hate Villa?
Is there anyone, anyone that you like?
No, they were piping up in the summer because.
Oh, because of Smith Rowe. Is it about that?
No, yeah, just because, they thought because Jack Grealish left, they were spending money left, right, and centre, bid 25 million on Smith Rowe, we're going to finish top four, and then.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I get it.
Anyway.
Well, I hope Villa crash and burn.
That's
your second team now, isn't it?
Oh my God, yeah, this is my second team. Yeah, pick up Gerrard.
Yeah, it's both your second teams. But it's funny that he said, I want Gerrard to do well, and then ended it with, I hope Villa crash and burn.
That's what you get with me sometimes, isn't it?
The bipolarness. All right, the next game was Burnley versus Palace. And
what a game.
Well, yeah, crazy.
Talk
game.
To me. Talk to me.
Well, what's going on?
My guy Benteke, bro.
Yeah, God grace. I can't believe it.
Obviously.
He scored more goals than Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Well, that's not
Harry
well,
Kane.
Well, it's easier to score
yourself.
More than one goal. Harry Kane's got nearly 20 goals this season, one league goal.
Minamino's playing about 30 minutes in the league.
Imagine
season.
Harry Kane's total.
Sad,
last two seasons, Benteke scored 10 league goals.
No, he did not.
Yes,
can you look? What are you talking about? What, 10 league goals in total?
last
two seasons?
Season?
No, last two.
Last two seasons? Oh,
why are you?
God.
What are you excited about? It's 10 goals in total in two seasons. What are you talking about?
I'm getting excited. I'm like, wow, that's terrible.
But this is the man who
obviously
said
in junior's
one goal
mind,
a season.
Obviously, in junior's mind, he's obviously going to challenge Mo Salah for the Ballon d'Or. but yeah, it was some good goals. His second goal was a really good goal. Conor Gallagher did very well. I was talking before the podcast. Yeah, I was like, I want this recorded. Yeah, by the end of the season, Conor Gallagher will be better than Mount.
What's your rationale for saying that behind, but not behind, like by the end of the season?
It's too early to say because obviously this season is close. It's clear that Gallagher performed better.
Right, she's actually busted. She basically said everything you just said is one big joke.
So I'm a punchline.
Bust the drums on you and that. Crazy.
I just realised, I get no respect on this podcast. You don't need to appreciate what I bring
to
this podcast.
Can I just say,
I get no respect.
You're talking and she's going to me, you should have pressed that button. I'm like, what button? And then she just goes and presses the button.
I get no respect on this podcast. To the listeners,
I swear
to the listeners.
Like a birdie one that's like, you know when someone says something and it's like.
It's that one.
No, it's not that one.
What is this, man? Is this a sample podcast? For crying out loud. Can I just say, to the listeners, can you not go in our Instagram DMs, and show me support? Because I get disrespect on this podcast. Go on Twitter and show me support because I get no respect,
Hashtag Abdi.
But
back on the game.
No, we'll read them out next week. We'll read out all of the messages that we get.
We're going to read out all zero messages we get.
Hashtag Abdi the legend, So,
Abdi's going to make a burner account. Like, oh yeah, Abdi, man, I've got full support for you.
I already got two on my phone. Yeah. Just back on the game, Obviously, Benteke scored the goals. That was, firstly, what is going on with... what's Burnley recently? A Turf Moor 3-2 against Brentford recently. Another 3-3.
3-2.
Yeah, against Brentford they beat him. Drimmer. Or 3-1 was it or something like that? Yeah, but loads of goals. Corne, what a signing he's
in. He's going home. You know, 5 goals in 7 games.
Yeah. Yep. Damn.
And he got injured. Against City.
Tanya goes, "Oh, is it that black guy that Burnley signed?"
Mate, he is though, is he not?
I mean, yes.
That's 5 goals. Yeah, he's the type of player that I would want in our team because he's a goal threat from a wide position. So we don't have enough goals in our team. And I like the fact that he's getting...
Is just,
for you, Spence, so let me not even go there.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about Arsenal. We're talking about Burnley.
Say something about Burnley.
I was going to say, he's done 70 million on someone who was meant to do that exact job.
Mark.
Yeah, but he's a bonehead.
Mark, we're talking about Burnley.
Do you know what? I would have Pepe slander.
We've got the wrong Ivorian.
Are we listening to Tanya?
No, I think Pepe's a good player.
She goes, "I won't have Pepe slander. I like him."
No, I think he is a good player.
You can leave right now.
Anyway, we're talking about Burnley and Crystal Palace.
3-3 draw. Burnley, they've been good recently. Like, they've improved
their
results.
Their last 4 or 5 games.
Well, they took a point off of Chelsea. Am I making
They took a point off of Chelsea. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, conveniently.
Beat Brentford, drew this game as well. But that was a back and forth game as well. I think Crystal Palace would be more disappointed. I think Zaha hit the bar in the second half as well.
Oh, what a strike!
Yeah, with his left
foot. Palace will be disappointed because while they've been impressive this season,
and
we've spoken about the transition from prehistoric type football to
prehistoric
Vieira ball, which is quite impressive. But the thing for Palace is that they've played, 12 games and 7 of them have been draws. And you're not going to get anywhere in this league if the majority of your results are draws.
And on top of that, they've led in a lot of those games. They led 1-0 against Burnley. They led 3-2 against Burnley.
2-1 against Arsenal, conceded in the last minute.
Yep.
1-0 against Brighton, conceded in the last minute.
Yeah.
So,
Vieira needs to... Even he addressed that in his press conference, that he needs to work out the balance.
Did you see that goal, where Burnley had about 15 men on the line, and the guy still scored.
Yeah.
Gorhi, was it? Yeah.
Gorhi,
Sean Dyche would have probably got out a gun in the changing rooms. He's like, "You men are taking a piss out of me, bro."
All right. Let's move on to another 3-3, which is Newcastle's versus Brentford.
Newcastle's
against Brentford's.
Brentford's, yeah.
Eddie Howe missed his first day.
Mark, are you turning into Abdi, man?
He's rubbing off on me.
Oh, he's got COVID, isn't he?
Yeah.
Howe's got COVID.
But I've just looked at it. Well, let's brush through this because there's a certain game that we really need to speak about.
It's true. I forgot I saw that.
So it happened. So it was at St. James's Park. And so, let's
Well, Newcastle
next
got see, a new I, manager, I, Eddie I, Howe. Yeah. Do you think he'll do well?
We were just talking about
Did we just talk about him, though? No, we just said he had COVID. We didn't actually talk about...
But she's right. Is it good? He came obviously because his son is there, Callum Wilson.
So
he came to manage his son. So
and Richie and
Fraser.
Yeah,
it's just a Bournemouth reunion, man. Yeah, watch out. Every light skinned player in the league is coming. He's coming for you, bro.
I hope they take Dele Alli then.
Reunion tour, but
Pepe just bleach your skin and go there.
It's gonna be.
Oh my day.
That's worse than my R. Kelly one.
No, it definitely isn't.
What's going on today?
Now, listen, I forgot what I was going to say, but Newcastle are going to be entertaining to watch if it's going to be like that. If it's going to be every game like that.
Right, we're going to talk about the nitty gritty with Newcastle. They're still the only team in the league yet to pick up a win.
Bottom of the league, you know.
Bottom of the league. So there is actually, whilst they've got a new manager and they've actually got, in terms of the 11 that they could play, it's relatively strong. Like, it shouldn't be in 20th place, but very worrying for Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm worried about them.
Very
got
worrying.
12
games in to not pick up a single win. And I know they've only had Eddie Howe for the one game.
Yeah.
He's got a tough job.
They have to start. So you don't think Newcastle are in trouble?
No. That's not what I disagree with. I actually disagree that they have a strong 11.
Well, you think about like a Norwich, for example. Let's focus on their front. Let's focus on Newcastle's front too. St. Maximum and Callum Wilson.
Yeah. Hey. Don't forget about Joe Linton. Scored.
Did score. Oh, yeah, decent finish as well.
Pick him up.
I'm joking, he's terrible.
He's out there on the left half the time. That front two, those two players are good enough to get in, 14, mm-hmm. 13, 12 of the teams in
Callum
the league.
Callum Wilson can't keep himself fit.
Yeah, man, he's
but
useless.
He's fit now.
I don't like Callum Wilson.
So Maxman will start for 17 teams in the league. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they have
Sorry if I didn't, if I wasn't clear enough, but thank you for saving that.
Apology accepted.
This what is this bromance?
Relative to the teams around them, I'm not disputing that. But relative to
your friend.
relative to the teams around them, they shouldn't be in the situation that they're in right
now. Yeah, no, I agree. Do you think Eddie Howe would take him out of that trouble?
I don't know. This is what we need to see. Because
in January as well, they can buy a bare man.
They
so.
Can, but I think, I think it's like 120 they can do, and then they start to get into that financial
120
fair.
Has been their budget for last year. So.
No, but come on. Who are they getting in January? I just think
they can rinse the
trouble.
Teams around them.
They're in trouble.
That woman who's part of the ownership.
She's not a woman.
She doesn't look like a real human.
She is.
If I see her in her back alley, I'm running.
I'm
out of there. Like, I'm
she
gone.
Looks like she's wearing a mask, isn't it?
No, yeah. She looks hella scary, bro.
I'm fully gone.
No, but Tanya, to answer your question, I think they
can
rinse
there's a few bodies in her back garden.
Like who?
Well,
allegedly.
But I just don't see a Newcastle as an attractive club. I just don't.
No, they are.
Do you know what's attractive? Do you know what's attractive? Money.
No, listen, Newcastle are more attractive than any other team down there. Norwich,
just Norwich.
You're proving my point.
I had a mind of the teams around them. Thank you. Leeds and Newcastle is debatable, and we let their fans debate that.
Yeah, I'd rather go Leeds, top not FC. Watford.
These are the types of clubs. I mean, in terms of players who want to come and play in the
Watford,
Premier League.
No, I would.
The Newcastle.
If you go in from Watford to instead of going Newcastle instead of Watford is a 50k jump, you know, minimum. So I think that, and also you're forgetting coming to the Premier League is like a big dream for a lot of these players outside of the league. Yeah. So you can go out and buy players from, you know, La Liga or Bundesliga or wherever, and you offer them a 50k pay rise. And they'll go to Newcastle. They'll live in that shit. Sorry.
All right. We apologise. Those are the thoughts of Abdi and not representative of
WTL. Let's move on
because
we've got to talk about a big game.
Okay, Norwich versus Southampton.
Okay, let's move on to the next game.
It's a good start for Dean Smith. Did you know, right?
And yes.
I don't think there's...
I put it on IG.
You put it on IG?
I don't even know what you're saying.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't see that. I don't even know if this is factually correct, but I think he's the first manager to manage two separate Premier League clubs in two game weeks. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he managed Villa.
Yeah.
Then he got sacked and we had the international break. Then the next game, he was in charge at Norwich.
Okay.
So in two games, he's managed Villa and Norwich back
and
to
both
back.
Games were against Southampton.
No!
Yeah,
crazy!
Yeah.
No wonder why he won then.
Okay. He lost to Southampton.
Yeah, because he learned from his mistakes. It's like we go again. Oh,
but with a completely different team.
But not Norwich won 2-1. That was their second
important
win on
game.
The bounce.
Important. Yeah.
Second
important
win on the bounce for Norwich.
Who did they beat
very
before?
Important. It was Fark's
the
last game
before.
It was.
I liked Fark.
Whoever. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really care that much. To be honest.
That was a great game.
Let's move on.
Big up Dean Smith.
Okay.
Good appointment.
Watford versus.
Oh yeah, baby.
This game, before the news afterwards, which we'll get onto in a second, this game was just my drug. Honestly.
Honestly. Like, what was it that you say? I'm going to explode or something.
Whoa. I'd like to confirm that. I've never said that before.
Hang on. Yeah? Not that kind of explode.
Tanya. Everyone chill out, all right? Everyone
you filthy animals. All right?
China. We don't need to know what goes on between your private chats.
No, no, no. He said, oh, I'm going to overdose.
Overdose.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes more sense. Okay, I was in that group chat. I was like,
did I say that to her? The fourth one went in and Abdi actually OD'd.
Yeah. No, but like, that first penalty, yeah, you got Bruno Fernandes, yeah, blasting the ball in the air for no reason.
What's he doing? What is he doing?
McTominay gives away the penalty. I'm already taking a hit for that one. Obviously, I had to drink some water after, so I missed two penalties, so I had to calm down a little bit. Then they're 2-0 down, yeah, and then Maguire gets sent off for something really stupid, yeah.
No, hold on.
Yeah, let's talk about Maguire. Please.
How can you get sent off when you had control possession of the ball? How in 3 steps time when you're on the ball is the ref showing you a red card?
He was like, I'm tired, man. I want to early. And he cupped, yeah, Tanya just showed his picture. Yeah. He cupped his ear off scoring against Albania. Have some shame, bro. And then he scores again against San Marino. He thinks he's the man. He's like, I'm going to come back now, yeah.
Because he went out partying the same day.
See, that I don't really care about, to be honest. At the end of the day, like, you know, do what you want outside of the pitch, innit? But I feel like that game, when he got sent off as well, I feel like that was so poetic. That was like him saying, Oli, this is the end, bro. Like, we are done now. You brought me to this mess. Yeah.
I'm taking an early shower now,
yeah. And me and you are going down together, innit? So.
If I'm going out tonight, man, I could do with that half hour.
I think everybody in the world wants to know your thoughts at the end of the game when Bruno was pointing at Ole and pointing at the rest of the players.
You showman, you slag, man. Showing off to everyone. Who do you think you are, bruv? He's like, oh, he's a performer under the camera. He's like Guardiola, bruv, man.
Yeah, to be honest, Bruno, I've said he's a little bitch,
innit? Oh, my God, bruv. How about some good performances? How about some control? Oh, how about more than 65% pass completion? Rather than performative accent. Oh, no, he's all about us, you know? It's not just him. He's the one who brought me here and allowed me to do what I want. So I want him in the job.
No, but Kai.
Why does he sound like an old woman in your head?
Come on, man.
But Kai's, it's over. That Watford victory
was bittersweet because Ole's left now.
But can I just say something, Ole? If you're listening, right? I just want to say thank you so much for the memories. Us because cool. We've now got Antonio Conte, so you're a legend in my eyes. You're a top.
Ole
legend.
Definitely listens to this. So he'll take that on board.
No, I'm sure he will.
I'm just saying he'll take that on board.
Yeah, he's going to make that his ringtone.
Exactly.
When he goes back to Maldives, like Tanya, thank me. Do you think he's going to get another job?
No.
It'll be a brave club. It won't be a Premier League club.
It'll be Norway fishing, mate. Another job.
Actually, I want to ask you about your scale of sick faces the agenda. So obviously, we started off with this is Abdi on the agenda. So we say goodbye to our hero, our mate, Ole. Good one-liner there. I like that. Mm-hmm. Then you've gone on to list some players and they've all, it kind of progresses in sick faces.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got Maguire with one sick face.
Oh, God.
Maybe deserve another couple more.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you've listed McTominay there with two. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Bruno down there with 3 sick faces.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what? Then you've got four.
Then you've got Ronaldo. Oh, hold on. Let me. You've got Ronaldo with 4 sick faces and 2 pieces of shit.
I like how you said
that. Do not disrespect my
coach. I want you to explain to the listeners the rationale. Like, who? Start with Maguire.
I just want to say this podcast has gone off the rails.
Firstly, Maguire, everyone knows he's rubbish, isn't it? So I don't need to talk more about it. We're seeing it in front of us in 4K. Yeah, Maguire hoeing himself out in front of the world. Yeah. Oh, I'm the best because I scored against San Marino, bro. Half of them man are accountants, man. I know it. Them man, yeah. The next, you are got flying home the next day. Them lot are got work at 6 a.m. So have some shame. McTominay, we all know it, man. He's just a cheese sandwich. We know what he's about, innit? He's terrible. That guy is like,
you call him a cheese sandwich.
We know what he's about, innit? So that it goes with that. Bruno has so many supporters, even though he's out here slutting himself out every week. Yeah, well. For my, he's got the freedom of the of Old Trafford, and there you go. Now, from now on, the next manager who comes in, you think he's going to get that much win? The very next game, he's on the bench, innit? So, and then Ronaldo, listen, it ain't my go who's missing one-on-ones against YouTubers, yeah. So, So that's all I'm saying. Yeah, my goat scored at the weekend, didn't it? So
listen, yeah, do not disrespect the goat.
No, that's the thing. Ronaldo is the second greatest player of all time. But if you, if people, crazy people like you, don't accept it, what? I'll continue this agenda and I want him to fail.
Why do you want him to fail?
Because he's not the goat. That's the thing. If you compare him to all these other people, then it's fine. But
yeah. I mean, I'll admit, Man United are probably worse with him in the team.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, my team. Yeah, my goat. Sitting seventh in the league, innit? My guy hasn't even performed yet and he's still top of the league.
No, but guys, seriously, it's done. Yeah. Ollie's gone now.
Wait, it is done.
Can we give a massive shout out to Donny van der Beek?
Oh yeah, big him up, man.
He should have honestly. Yeah,
I love that guy so much.
He's a better man than me because I would have gone onto the pitch and grabbed my crotch in front of Ollie and said, rest in piss. He's like, I've got a job tomorrow, you don't.
Do you remember what Suarez did to David Moyes?
He should have done that, bro.
He should have done that.
He should have done the DX chop thing, bro. He should have said, suck it, bro, in front of him.
I'm finished.
I'm actually done.
That's how you know he's a professional. And I'm not, bro.
I'm really aware of the time. And
we need to speak about.
No.
Let's give Ranieri a little bit of praise.
Yes, Ranieri.
Big him up.
Shout him up. He's obviously out here with the pizzas. Whenever he gives them their pizzas, it's obviously working. Dennis out here. I didn't realise he was only 23 odd.
10 games, four goals, five assists.
Mm-hmm. So, doing well. Fair play to Watford. I'm not going to lie. If you asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said immediately they're definitely going down. Mm-hmm. And now there's a question mark in my head.
And shout out João Pedro.
Good goal through De Gea's.
Yeah.
And Poch, if you're listening, stay at PSG. Don't do it.
Okay. They scored four goals and missed two penalties as well. So,
okay, wait. Okay, next game, Wolves versus West Ham. And Jimenez scores from outside the box.
Very well.
And that's Wolves' sixth win on the bounce, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, inject this, man. Clap, because fun West Ham.
West Ham is picking the right one.
Wait, what's happening?
No, I'm glad West Ham finally lost, man. They're getting on my nerves.
I thought we were bigger than Wolves.
Oh, little bubbles.
Sorry. Sorry. Has she not given David Moyes man of the week like 5 times in a row?
I have.
That's true.
I have.
You pick a West Ham player every week.
Yeah, but I can't stand them.
So why are you picking them then?
Because they're just...
Well, obviously you can because you're voting the man of the week.
They're so irrelevant. And they're acting like they're going to get top four. Listen, they're not getting top four.
They beat you. They're big man for
you. Yeah, they beat us. Well
irrelevant.
Done.
If they're irrelevant, what are you lot?
Well done, but we're crap, but they're irrelevant. Like you, they.
I don't think they're irrelevant.
That makes zero sense. Literally.
They can't chat to us.
They're better than you, but they're what? They're worse than you.
No. I mean, I'm sorry, blowing bubbles. Do you know how pathetic that is?
Your whole club is pathetic.
Anyway,
I want to give credit to Wolves because the way Wolves have been playing recently, I really enjoy it. Like, obviously, under Nuno, they were just like, they were an effective team, but they were kind of boring. Yeah, and he was like, obviously, they call him Mini Jose. But I felt Bruno Lage, they build from the back much better. They have good combinations to find for it. What's his name? It's difficult to lose. What's his name? Jota, and they lost Jimenez for most of last season as well. But they've recreated that partnership with a guy who's stylistically very similar to Jota. Mm. They're doing very well, and that was a quality goal, by the way. Like the finished as well.
Yep.
I also want to give shout out to Fabianski for an amazing save.
Yeah,
that was amazing. Yeah, from who was it? Neves or something?
From outside the box.
Yeah. So and they
wasn't it Pudence?
Yeah, I think it's Pudence. Yeah, Pudence is back now. I like Pudence a lot.
And they've got Neto to come back. Yeah. At
Neto
some
to
point.
Come back as well. And then you know Wolves, they've got this. You've got Trincao as well. So they've got a decent amount of options.
Trincao's on loan, I think, but it's still
but
that puts Wolves sixth, point behind Arsenal, 4 points behind fourth. So if you think about it, if they had a slightly better start to the season where they were playing well. Anyway, and we touched on this in the earlier episodes of the pod, but they weren't picking up the points or scoring goals even. They weren't even scoring goals. So for them to be sitting in sixth now, 4 points off the top four, kudos to them.
Manager also, I just want to correct myself. Man. They did lose to Palace like before the international
break. Lost 2-0, yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. But still sixth.
Hold that.
Good one. Bud me on that one, bro.
Anyway.
But haha, West Ham lost.
Okay. Next up, Man City versus Everton, and to be honest, I don't think anyone expected Everton to go there and win.
Do you know what?
On the
Everton,
form that they're on.
Do you know what? I'm ashamed, right, to apparently say that. No, it's not apparent. Top four.
You know, this is recorded. It's on, like,
and plus three people remember it like really well.
No, it's on the internet. It's alleged. We don't know if that was actually said or not.
No, right? No, we know.
But Everton, I just think they should be relegated at this point. No, what is the point in Everton?
Listen,
like, genuinely, what are they trying to do?
If we had this thing back when Tanya said what she said, we would have given her one of these.
That's actually the one I was looking for you for 2 seconds ago.
Can we have a conversation? What is the point in Everton?
They've got lots of injuries.
Yeah, but what's the point in them?
I don't want to hear the lots of injuries excuse. I was told last season by all three of you and every single person on the internet.
Three of you?
That injuries is not an excuse.
I never said
so
that.
Why is it an excuse for other teams?
The reason they're... So, also, let's not forget, they're playing Man City. So, no one expects
I want to hear an answer to the question.
Firstly, don't ever remember me again, yeah? Yeah, we ain't friends. For them, they've got a weaker squad and their best players are injured. Like, right now, they've got Doucouré injured, they've got...
But
obviously,
my
DCL's
point
injured.
Is, are they just happy to be a mid-table team then?
No,
they've got, spent so
why
much
do you
money.
Think, why do you think they brought
saying,
in Benitez?
Why are they so bad?
Because they've got a lot of injuries.
Why are they so bad? Because they're losing games. I don't know why. Why they're so bad? Because they're not good. So what do you expect me to say? Everton, there's a crisis going on mentally.
If they got relegated tomorrow, I wouldn't care. Do you know what I mean?
I think there's a lot of people in Liverpool that do care.
Yeah, they're Everton fans. Yeah.
Oh, for goodness, they can't even. They never beat Liverpool, do they?
They beat Liverpool last season at Anfield.
I think
it was a weakened Liverpool, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
All right, but can we give praise to Man City?
Even Mark's agreeing.
Yeah. Of course he's going to agree.
Mate, all they live for is to try and beat Liverpool. That's
what you guys live for, to beat Arsenal when Arsenal lose. Anyway,
you have an agenda against like 19 teams in the Premier League.
I don't know, like, I just
hate Everton. I hate West Ham. I hate this team
because she loves Aston
Villa.
You love
Villa, isn't it?
No, it's nine. She's got an agenda against
Spurs. Against Tottenham, isn't it?
One team who she doesn't have an agenda against is Villa.
But,
but what a goal by Rodri that was.
No, Cancelo's assist.
Cancelo's assist. Best assist of the season.
What are we saying? I think we haven't really got along, but what are we saying about City? Because there were question marks about their lack of striker, but 3-0 suggests that they're not having troubles finding the back of
it.
I
guess Everton is a bit...
Well, they played with a striker.
Because
they played Cole Palmer. Yeah.
True, but...
He's very young.
He was there at the start of the season when they were screaming no striker. You know what I mean? No, like, experienced, proper number nine who will start 30 out of the 38 games
I think what helped as well, like, It was Sterling from the right, and you know how I feel. Sterling was actually playing on the right, so we finally got to see the goal for it, Sterling, and he did score. And he messed up a chance second half, but he's there for the I think with Sterling not playing, you end up not having that consistent goal for it in behind. He plays Jesus as well. He's further from the goal. He's a striker by trade, but he's not playing as a striker as well. So, and also they had a few injuries, like De Bruyne had COVID, Grealish was injured as well. So they play the front three of Foden on the left, which, to be fair, I still don't get it, man. I
prefer Foden on the left.
On the left.
Pep's even come out and said it. It offers them a whole new
dimension.
But
you see what he's doing
for
England, though, isn't it, as a number 10? He's getting goals and assists. He's like actually...
It's not really a number 10 because England play with two centre mids in a 3-4-3.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I know it's just Andador in it, but still, like... I prefer Sterling, not Sterling, Foden. I do prefer him playing a little bit further forward in a central position. I do like him sometimes in that what's he called, the false nine position, because he's a really good finisher for someone his age. But
I think the one thing that you want with Foden is you want him to have space in a game to run at people, and you get
or
that
even running
more
behind.
So out wide.
But on the left, I feel he's more limited though. Like he can't cut in. So
yeah, of course, but. Same with Raheem Sterling on the right, and you'd love that.
Yeah, but Raheem Sterling's his cutting in isn't his strength. That's where he loses
cutting,
the ball.
If you think if Phil Foden's main strength is not cutting in, one of his main strengths is the way he can move with the ball, the balance.
But where is he at his best? Where is he at his best?
I think that's still to be decided, to be honest.
Yeah, but eventually he will. I think what Guardiola said about Foden before is that he's got the quality to play in that central position, but obviously one. You've got the captain, vice captain, one of their main players, De Bruyne plays in that position. And also he doesn't know like mentally what to do in that role yet. He'll get there, but he doesn't, what he's got right now, he can't provide what Guardiola wants it. from him. And also, I've got an agenda against De Bruyne, so I want him out of the team. So what do you?
So you're going on to me.
You
for
want
having
him? What do you mean?
So
you
what
want him?
What player
out of the
do
team?
You not have an agenda again?
City fan now.
No, but I mean, I want to see Foden thrive as an England as an English player.
I think he's thriving pretty.
Yeah, I think he's thriving, and he definitely got a rest. He got taken off after just before the 60th minute. They got PSG tomorrow, so it'll be today if you're listening on Wednesday.
I can't wait for that game.
And he's been specifically rested for that, so obviously Pep loves him.
Yeah, and like you said, quality goal from Rodri.
Yes, my boy Foyth. Knock him down. Sorry.
Shh. Quality goal from Rodri as well. Like, smashed it top bins. I said before the podcast, before you came, Mark, I was like, let's all say he's better than Fabinho to draw out Mark. None of them wanted to take part in
that.
It.
He did say that.
But Rodri's in a fantastic season as well.
Yeah, he is.
I think Tanya's specific words were, don't be silly.
Yeah.
Are you worried about Man City as a Liverpool fan?
How can I not be? We've been told to toe with them for... What does that mean, though? They're still above us in the league.
Are they above you?
Yeah,
no
by
way,
one
really?
By what? 1 point.
Since when?
Since the weekend's games.
No, I don't think you're right.
Wait, yeah, how? Since when?
Can we all just have a... Let's just let Abdi do this.
talk amongst yourselves, innit?
No, I want the listeners to hear the awkward silence as well. So you get onto that league table. Thank you, Julia. You get onto that league table. I don't even know why I'm
shut me up,
innit?
Less, 1 point above
less, less... As I just said, let's move on to Tanya's little segment.
All right, I like that, Mark.
Antonio.
Cut off her mic.
That's the worst song in the world.
Cut off her mic, bruv.
Listen.
I don't want to
be singing that till the day I die. Well,
Antonio scored against you a couple of weeks ago. Stop singing about him.
You can be quiet. You can stick with your Arteta cone boy over there.
Tanya, can I? What can I?
No, wait, she's got stats. Let her read the stats.
Oh, all right. Now, that's actually what I was going to do. I was going to ask you for your, not for specific stats, but definitely bring those to the answer. What is it that you, what are you seeing in that first performance under Conte? Or is it second?
Second.
So in the first couple.
Oh, third, yeah.
But the first win in the league, I think, again, I could be wrong.
Correct, Mark.
What are you seeing that's different, or are you not seeing that yet? And what are you hoping for this season?
Well, first of all, the first half was a terrible performance. We couldn't string three or four passes together. Leeds pressed us really, really well. I have to say that. Who should have scored? Leeds should have scored.
They did score, though.
I know, but more.
They were missing arguably their two best players in Rafinha and Bamford.
And I think that's a concern. You know, a weakened Leeds side peppering us in the first half. When you look at the players that we've got on the pitch... It was worrying. It's very frustrating to watch. So you have to big up Leeds there for the performance in the first half.
Why do you play Winks?
Just let her get on.
Was suspended for that game. So it kind of forced his hand.
I think Winks is
the
type of player that Conte likes, though, man. Someone who can just sit in the middle and dictate the ball.
Kick people.
Annoying.
It's not necessary. No, because you've got to give Winks his credit where it's due. And you just got to say that on the ball in terms of just keeping the play going.
I don't think Tanya
agrees with you. He's a decent player in that sense. Mm-mm. And I think that's what Conte wants from him.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm all for Conte improving players that are below average. And he has a track record of doing that. So if he wants to
make because he likes crap players.
into a world beater, I'm all for it. But yeah, the contrast in that second half for me was very, very telling. I think Conte was the game changer. Mm. Like under Nuno or Jose, I think we would have lost that game. I don't know what he said to them in half time, but compared to the first half, we had two attempts on goal. Second half, it's 11. That's a huge difference. And then obviously first half, zero shots on target. Second half, four shots. It's still not great, but it's good to know that he's getting into the players' heads and we responded quite well in that second half. Good goal from Højbjerg. Reguilón got his first goal for Spurs. Decent little finish. Dier needs to be on free kicks. But I will say this, Harry Kane's performance... Harry Kane's performance.
What? You love Dier so much that I was taken aback by you actually giving him any duties.
Do you know what? To be fair to Dier, I'll say this. He's actually been our best defender this season.
He's been your most consistent player.
The bar is in hell,
but he's actually done well. Like, I've got to give the guy credit. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like you with Arteta, you would agree he's probably not the manager to take you guys forward, but you've had a decent run. You've got to give him credit where it's due. So I have to say that about Dier.
He was playing against some schoolboy from Leeds, though.
He has. Harry Kane, I'm going to talk about this guy.
Gelhart or something?
Gelhart.
Harry Kane, right?
Your boy.
He had a chance in that second half early on, he would have scored that for England. I'm telling you now.
I thought he was good in the second half though. He was holding the ball up and he was getting out of situations.
I just feel like the bar's on the floor though at the minute with Kane. Yeah, like just because he's, you know, having one little chance here and there that he should be doing better. Oh yeah, he's playing well. He's not playing well.
No, he didn't score obviously, but I felt like he was one of your primary reasons for getting back into the game. He was working really hard. You were criticising his work rate on Twitter. I saw that. But yeah, in the second half, he was really good. I thought like there were so many times where Tottenham plopped it long, and then he allowed players to come back into. Mm. He was getting past two or three players as well. Actually, I think you need to give him credit. He was all right.
I think that's what's been missing from his game this season in terms of impacting the game. Even if he's not getting a goal, impacting the game, and that's what he did on Sunday.
Yeah, no, he was better. He was better, but I want to see more from him personally. As I said.
Course,
it was a poor lead side. I expect us to be doing a lot better. And I think Conte, listen, he's not been here long. Players are still crap. I think he needs backing in the January transfer window. But I'm just happy he's our manager, to be honest. I love the energy. Did you see him? And people are criticising him. I know it's Leeds, but Conte's always been like that. Like, he's always pumped up, isn't he? I love passion merchant managers. I love Klopp, the way he celebrates. He's like that. Conte, oh, I'm just so happy he's our manager.
He's a psychopath.
He is a psychopath.
I think Conte is a fantastic coach. He really is.
He can
improve a team. But I, if I was a Tottenham fan, the only concern I'd really have is that when he eventually fights with everyone and leaves, he's going to leave the squad in a terrible state because he likes terrible players. Like,
but you know what? If we win two trophies,
this is a guy who's bidding for Andy Carroll and Ashley Barnes and all that stuff.
I'm just saying, if we win something out of it, I don't care what Messi leaves us in.
Have you seen Andy Carroll joined
Reading?
Yeah.
Really?
Two months. Just a random 2 month contract.
Reading has 11 first team injuries, long term injuries.
Oh, crazy.
Oh yeah, so go get Andy Carroll because you know he plays every game. <doesn't he?
laughs> All right. Did you have anything else, Tanya?
No.
So we got a new segment.
Pretty much.
It's called "What Do We Need to Talk About." So every week we're asking people on Instagram what we need to talk about, and so
follow us.
And we're gonna pick a random two every week. So this week we've got. Let me just get the original question. So Cindy, shout out Cindy. She asked, Poch possibly coming to United. So let's talk about it. Tanya, we'll come to you first because you've got priors with Poch. How do you feel?
Right, first of all, this is a message to Spurs fans because they're actually annoying me. Like, I'm actually sick to death of certain Spurs fans going on about Poch. I love Poch, don't get
me wrong.
How
I feel about you, Tanya.
He's our best manager to ever manage this football club. I respect him so much for what he's done with the limited resources that he had. But we've got to move on now. The chapter's closed. Stop
let
going
me
on about Poch.
Tell you to
Can
pump
you
the
finish?
Brakes. Yeah?
Can you let me finish?
You were the one wearing a Tottenham shirt and you said Poch FC and you got everything.
Yeah, I mean.
On Twitter, you got some hate.
Yeah, but I'm not sitting here wishing that Poch is still here. I literally saw people tweeting, oh, he's a traitor if he goes to United. How is he a traitor if he goes to United? It's ridiculous. But
he's had like three managers since then.
I think Poch, he'll do well at United. He'll improve some of the young players that they've got. They've got a young squad. But I don't know if he's actually going to be the manager to take them forward because there is still unanswered questions about Poch. He's not won a trophy yet. I mean, he's won one with PSG, a small trophy, but I just
don't
know.
They are 11 points clear in France.
No, he is. And that's the thing. People are saying he's failing. I don't see why he's failing. He's 11 points clear in the league. He's still in the Champions League. But I just don't know if he's going to be that manager to take Man United to that next level, personally.
There's still a question about him being able to handle big names like...
Yep.
I don't know. He's got Ronaldo and Bruno.
Yeah, because apparently the reports were saying, oh, there's big egos at PSG, Neymar, Mbappe, Messi. But Man United, Pogba.
You get big egos wherever you go.
Wherever you go.
At top clubs.
So,
if he goes Man United, he's playing with the biggest ego of all people.
But he will improve Ronaldo. He will improve United.
I don't know why he wants to leave because he's literally got a cheat code to get his first league title and collect some trophies.
But, I don't know.
But isn't it a given? It's kind of a given, though, in that league, isn't it? Let's be real.
But still, it's good for your CV.
But he loves the league. I'm hearing that a lot. What it is, obviously his son plays football over here still. He's got some family in London. He misses his family a lot. And
I just remind you that Manchester is not in London. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I know, but I'm just, you know what?
Closer,
I mean.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So,
you can just jump on the Eurostar.
Abdi, Mark, with you.
I just think United have got to steer away from hiring managers and coaches who have some sort of connection to United is obviously not working. So I think for me, Poch is probably one of the ones in the hat who could take them forward right now with that Prem experience that he's got.
Yeah.
European experience as well. I'm not really agree with Tanya. I think it would be sad to say. I think he'd do pretty well there.
That would hurt. But I just think for where Man United want to be, they want to be winning Premier Leagues. Poch hasn't proven that. And I think a manager like Zinedine Zidane, for example, I think that's a manager they should be trying to get.
But Poch hasn't proven that with Spurs.
Yeah, true. He hasn't, but...
Because not many managers
It's just whether they want to take that risk. I know Man United, their fans, they're going mental. They want to win everything. They want to win Champions League. They think they should be winning Champions League. So
I think Poch is a better coach than Zidane. I think Zidane's a good manager, mm-hmm. and obviously he's done well. He's got a good CV. But I just feel like Poch.
He is a good coach.
Poch, I think
coach.
People, obviously he bottled it a lot, I suppose, but just this guy took bunch of losers to the Champions League final. Like, that's an achievement.
He did.
And, but if any Man United, I know they're not going to listen, but anyone in the board in Man United, Steve Bruce doesn't have a job.
Yeah, he's a good candidate.
Wayne Rooney, you know, he doesn't want to get relegated, so go get him.
But also,
I'm saying give it Michael Carrick.
No, man. Give it to, yeah, exactly. Give Watch how Carrick does.
And then Gritty Bruce comes alive in December.
Exactly, man. It would be amazing watching Ronaldo right wing back. I can't
wow,
wait.
Wow.
All right, okay. Next topic comes from Tommy, from our friends on Ifs and Buts. And he goes, how many goals will Chelsea concede in the league this season?
Well, how many have they
conceded?
Four.
Four and 12. Four. If they keep that up, that's 12
in
36. Did you not
listen to anything I just said earlier on?
You said five.
Yeah, I was saying four. Did you not listen to that whole segment earlier when we were arguing about Chelsea?
Yeah, no, she didn't. She doesn't even talk to us in our group chat.
No, but you know Abdi Kwoff a lot, innit?
I think they're not... They can't keep up the conceding four in 12 games, but I don't think they'll concede...
Many more.
I can't see them conceding the record, more than 20.
Record's like 13, potentially held by them.
Yeah.
I don't. That's not a fact. It's
around. I thought it was like 10.
It might be. I don't think it's 10. I do think they'll concede more than 20 goals in the league this season.
More than 20.
I think they'll concede. Ooh. I think they'll concede 16 in the next 26.
Okay.
16 or more.
How many did you concede when you won the league?
Don't think it's feasible for them to. Yes, I think the performances can keep up, but I don't think they will keep keeping
clean sheets. In 2004-05, they conceded 15 goals.
15. That's it. Crazy. So it's not 13.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
They won't beat that record. They won't beat that record this season.
The attacking quality in this league is higher, isn't it? Like, 15 goals. You can see goals literally anywhere. But
that was disgraceful. I think, man, that was Terry Carvalho partnership.
Yeah. That was Mourinho. Yeah. But I just feel like, it's a good question. But Tommy, we hate Chelsea, so stop asking questions about them.
Let me.
But thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Don't ever ask a question again. Let me. I'm joking. Let me just run a random one that I prepared for the end of this episode. Is everyone finished with what they want
to
cover?
We still have to talk about Man of the Week.
You want to do that now?
Yeah, let's do that now quickly. So my Man of the Week this week is N'Golo Kanté for top performance. Not just against Leicester. He's starting to kick on now, but he got a goal as well at the weekend, and. Yeah, he's just a beast, man. Next up, Mark.
Me. My Man of the Week this week is Trent Alexander-Arnold. I don't think I've given it to him this season. Are you sighing because it's a Liverpool player or because you were going to say Trent? All right, cool. Another great performance from him. I'll mention the clean sheet first and foremost because people still have this weird agenda against him to say that he can't defend when he really can defend. And another two assists, I think. He is unbelievable, and he keeps showing it week in, week out. So that's Trent for me.
I've got no one in mind. So can you come back to me?
You can pick one of your West Ham buddies.
They lost.
No, no, but she always goes for West Ham.
You not got a regular Don?
I actually think Reguilon was man of the match. I don't know where that came from. I don't know why he got man of the match.
Fam, just pick someone.
Tanya, Benteke scored two goals. Him and he scored a winner. Jolinton scored.
The audacity to announce I didn't do my homework.
Oh, be quiet.
We just talked about a bunch of games. This is great audio, by the
way.
Oh,
my God. Oh,
no. Abdi.
Abdi, yeah. Just
my man of the week is Sadio Mane. I felt like he destroyed Arsenal in the second half, got a goal and assist, and was involved with pretty much all of the goals. So, yeah, shout out to Mane, and hopefully he crashed and burns for the rest of the season.
Yeah, to get that last bit in. Tanya, let me run this question, and then we can come back to you at the end for your option.
Go through cool. the agenda.
I have a proper think. Right.
Think about Watford. They won 4-1.
So, that's a good shout. While Tanya's thinking... Dennis would be a decent shout. While Tanya's thinking... Not to feed that into you. So while Tanya's thinking about our man of the week, bear with us, guys. I think we're going to be finished in about 3 minutes. I got a question for you guys. So there are currently 8 Premier League footballers who are playing right now who are in the top 50 for goals scored in the Premier League. Can you name those 8 for me?
Ronaldo.
Yep.
Lukaku.
Yep.
Salah.
Correct.
Mane.
Correct.
Anyone? You want to chime in? Aubameyang? Sorry, I take that Aubameyang one back.
Kane,
the Elsie?
Nope.
No.
Really? Top 50?
Top 50.
Wait, he must be in there. Come on.
Yeah, I might.
He's got more goals than Ronaldo. So.
There's a chance I might have missed someone here.
Vard.
Kane.
Vardy.
Yeah.
So how many have I got now? When we got? How many have got?
Man said, how many have I got now?
So when you see when I said, oh, well, actually, Kane's on my list. I just can't read.
Okay.
I want to know what you've the question
got
is.
You've got 6 out of 8. One of them is Abdi, you love him. And one of them has been Saka a hot topic today. One of them has been a hot topic today with Junior, particularly
Benteke.
Yeah,
my guy.
And the last one, we just spoke about him being on wings and stuff, and which wings?
Sterling.
Sterling, yeah.
So I'll read out to you where they are and how many goals they've got. So you've got Harry Kane currently sitting in 7th with 167. Got Vardy in 17th with 125. Lukaku in 20th with 116. Salah in 26th with 108. Mane in 30th with 102. Sterling in 32nd with 98. Ronaldo in 43rd with 88. And Big Benteke in 45th with 86.
Say that again.
He's been here over 10 years.
And just a very quick follow-up question. Could you name me... This is a little bit more difficult. I've got 4 players here. 5 even, but 2 of them are tired. The closest players who are playing currently to breaking into that top 50. One of them, the closest actually,
Aubameyang.
Might surprise you. Aubameyang is on this list. He's last.
Okay.
And he's tied with Mahrez. So they're both 65th, 15 goals away from breaking into the top 50. So you've got top 3 50. More.
3 more.
2 are quite like, yeah. And is the one who's closest going to be like, whoa.
Danny Ings?
Nope.
But top 50, what? I actually missed
goals scored in the Premier League.
Oh.
So players who are playing currently. What I'll do for the sake of
Son.
Audio.
It's Son up there.
Son is
my boy. He'll get there.
58th on 74 goals. He's 9 away from hitting the top 50.
Yeah, he'll do that. Light work.
You've got
Firmino.
Firmino is 61st. He's 13 away. And now the last player, he's currently sitting in 55th on 78 goals. 5 goals away. Now this player has been playing for years since he was a teenager. There's your clue.
Milner? He's
not notoriously known.
Wait, he just looked at me.
Also, Ronaldo just scored. So, Abdi.
Hey, my boy!
Let me wrap this up because... are you sure?
Just tell us.
Yeah, and last one is Theo Walcott.
Ah.
He's
55th
on 78 Premier League goals. He's 5 away from the top 50.
This guy's been playing for 15 years, man.
It's mad, though. We've got 8 players currently who are playing in the league who are in the top 50.
Ronaldo.
And we've got a couple more.
That's a good finish.
Finish.
Yeah, I'll just shut up then.
Yeah,
we'll just.
I've got my man of the week now.
Oh, well done.
But remind me, so you, Mark picked Trent. You picked. I'm dying over here.
Mane.
And you picked.
You don't remember.
He picked.
Someone from Chelsea, I can't remember.
And Kante, yeah.
Right, so I'm giving it to Rodri for that screamer. Okay. Against Everton, and he's been in really good
finish
form.
From Ronaldo, though.
So yeah, I'm giving it to Rodri.
So shout out Watford who did beat Man United 4-1.
Yeah, but
shout out Dennis.
Can we end the shambles, please?
Okay, we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later. Sports Social Podcast Network.